ആത്മനീദം നിജമായ അർപ്പിതം. ക്വചിത് വിഭാതം ക്വചിത് തത്തിരോഹിതം. അവിദ്ധ ദൃക്സാക്ഷി ഉഭയം തദ് ഇക്ഷതേ. സ ആത്മമൂലോ വതു മാം പരത് പര. And purport by His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by expanding His own energy, keeps this cosmic manifestation visible and again sometimes renders it invisible. He is both the Supreme Cause and the Supreme Result, the Observer and the Witness, in all circumstances. Thus, He is transcendental to everything. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. Purport: The Supreme Personality of Godhead has multipotencies, parasya shaktir vividaiva shriyate. Therefore, as soon as He likes, He uses one of His potencies, and by that expansion He creates this cosmic manifestation. Again, when the cosmic manifestation is annihilated, it rests in Him. Nonetheless, He is infallibly the Supreme Observer. Under any circumstances, the Supreme Lord is changeless. He is simply a witness and is aloof from all creation and annihilation. The blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, senior devotees, and especially His Grace Mahadwiti Prabhu. So, translation once again: the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by expanding His own energy, keeps this cosmic manifestation visible and again sometimes renders it invisible. He is both the Supreme Cause and the Supreme Result, the Observer and the Witness, in all circumstances. Thus, He is transcendental to everything. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. So, reading from Canto 8, Chapter 3, chapter entitled Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender. So in this chapter, there are around 32 to 33 verses. And this entire chapter, Gajendra is just offering prayers one after the other. But the beauty of these prayers is that is revealed only in the 32nd verse. Here Gajendra, when he is offering prayers, he is not referring to any person as such. These prayers are very much based on the qualities. He knows that there is someone supreme. But who is that supreme? That is not mentioned till the 32nd verse, when he sees Lord Narayan coming towards him. That is the first time when he mentions the word Narayana in the entire prayers. So when you read all these prayers, it sounds somewhat like, since this is a holy month of Ramzan, all the Muslims, like we have our counting beads, they also have their beads. If you see many of the authorized bona fide Muslims, you'll find them always chanting. So we have 108 beads, but in their beads, they will have 99. And last time when we had, 5 years back when we had gone to Shri, on a South India Yatra, we had gone to Rameshwaram. And there somehow or other I went to make a call in some STD shop. And then that shop belonged to a Muslim person. And there was a big chart in his shop. And this chart had 99 small blocks, each small squares mentioning each one name of Allah. So the common one which people, when they do azan, so the common thing when you hear azan, the first thing you hear is Allahu Akbar. So Allah in its sense does not refer to any specific. Allah is something like generalized term as God. Just like when somebody said to Prabhupada that instead of naming International Society for Krishna Consciousness, if you can name it God Consciousness, that will be much better. But Prabhupada says no. Like Ranandaya Prabhu was explaining in the Prerana Day, that Prabhupada said we know who is God, and that is Krishna, therefore we are calling it as Krishna Consciousness. So Allah is a very general term, and all these 99 names denote one quality of the Lord, like Akbar. Like when you say Allahu Akbar, it says, "Oh Allah, oh that Supreme Lord, you are great." So Gajendra's prayers are somewhat exactly like the Muslim chanting those 99 names till the 32nd verse. Very general. So the point, when you read these prayers, first of all, he's not mentioning Supreme Lord Narayan, he's not addressing. He's just offering prayers in a very generalized way. He knows that there is some person who has all these qualities, which we'll see in the forthcoming verses. So the question that comes to mind is, even though Gajendra did not refer to anyone, he's just offering generalized prayers, what qualifies him to call the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or make the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, to come right before him and give him full protection? As in the previous verses, Prabhupada also, in the purport, mentions of Ajamil. Like Ajamil also, he did not refer to Narayan specifically as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was just referring to his son. But still, just by hearing that Narayan, the Lord sent his servants, the Vishnudutas. And in this case, it is not the Vishnudutas, it is the Supreme Lord Vishnu, Narayan himself personally coming to give protection to Gajendra. So what is the reason? Here we are chanting, many of the devotees are chanting from 2 decades, 3 decades. I can speak of myself, chanting from last 11 years. But we have no glimpse of anything, just with the hope that one day, someday, we'll get some glimpse of some taste or something like that, whatever we hear in the lectures or we read in the scriptures, with a hope, with an expectation that one day we are going to experience that, we are continuing. But Gajendra is just offering some 32 prayers. And Ajamil, yes, Prabhuji. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Hare Krishna. Even though he didn't know specifically that the personality of Godhead is Krishna, but still he had bhakti in his heart. That's one answer. Another answer may be that just as Ajamil was desperate, and therefore because he called out in desperation, his chanting was offenseless. Similarly, Gajendra was desperate.
So the second one, that is offenseless chanting. Ajamil chanted offenselessly, and Gajendra also chanted offenselessly. Now in these prayers, when compared to Ajamil, one may say Ajamil chanted the name of Narayan. But here, you will not find Narayan anywhere. Here it is just qualities. So the perfection of one's chanting, or the result of one's chanting, as Prabhupada mentions in one of the purports, is to know that the Supreme Lord, his name, his qualities, his attributes, its pastimes, are non-different. They are one and the same. So whether you chant the names of the Lord or whether you chant the glories of the Lord, they are both giving the same result. Right? So the point which I want to make is, or most importantly quoted when we speak of Ajamil, is he chanted offenselessly. Right? And therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit mentions one very beautiful verse which is scaring but at the same time hope-giving also. In the Adi Leela of chapter 8, where the chapter is entitled, the author receives the orders of Krishna and Guru. So in that, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami makes one very important point, one verse. He says, bahu janma kare yadi shravana kirtan, tabota na paibe krishna pade prema dhan. When somebody hears this verse, it is really fearing. It is not just speaking of few years, few decades, or this lifetime. Kaviraj Goswami directly hits, saying that bahu janma, even if one chants for many, many lifetimes, if one hears for many, many lifetimes about Krishna, still that does not guarantee. Tabo na paibe taha Krishna pade premadhan. So Prabhupada very beautifully, if somebody reads the verse and tries to translate it, he will have some other meaning. But when he reads what Prabhupada translates, it gives the understanding, proper understanding. And what does Prabhupada translate this verse as? If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will still not get the love of Godhead. That is the ultimate goal of this chanting. In the verse, you will not find anywhere mentioning 10 offenses. But as many times, we may not be able to understand, but the acharyas who are sargrahi, who know the essence, they know. Like for example, if somebody is chanting, we speak that you just chant once, you'll go back home back to Godhead. You chant only this lifetime, you'll go back home back to Godhead. But Kaviraj Goswami says, bahu janma yadi kare kirtana shravana. So what stops a person from getting that premadhan towards the lotus feet of Krishna? Tabota na paive Krishna pade premadhan. If you analyze properly, then the root, what you get it, is the offenses. And therefore, Prabhupada makes in the purport very clearly, quoting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Prabhupada says, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in this connection that although one may go on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for many, many years, there is no possibility of attaining the platform of devotional service unless one accepts Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One must follow strictly the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu given in the Sistashtakam verse. Third, Trinadapi Sunichena Taroriva Saheshnana Amanina Manidena Kirtaniya Sadahari. One should chant the holy names of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. One who follows this direction, being freed from the 10 kinds of offenses, becomes successful in Krishna consciousness and ultimately reaches the platform of loving service to the personality of Godhead. So the essence of our chanting, essence of our sadhana, in order to get the goal, is to be offenseless. And the basic principle of our process is the chanting of Hare Krishna. And if that Hare Krishna is with offenses, then for however or long time or however many years we may try to chant, that may not give any results according to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So as I said, that when one engages in offenseless chanting, what is the result of that? Prabhupada mentions in the purport, it's a very long purport and heavy also. So Prabhupada mentions that one comes to the stage of identifying the holy name with Krishna, or in other words, considering Krishna and the holy name to be one and the same. And not just Krishna and his holy name to one and the same, to consider Krishna along with all his potencies. Not just seeing Krishna as an individual self or as a person, single person, but considering Krishna along with all his multipotencies, which Prabhupada explains in this purport to this verse, that Krishna has multipotencies. But Prabhupada mentions in this purport again that how can one reach that stage, even though we know that, yes, one should chant offenselessly, to reach that stage of understanding that Krishna and the holy name and his energies are one and the same. But at least to chant offenseless, that first stage, how to do it? Prabhupada mentions, one cannot come to reach this conclusion unless until there is submissive service attitude to the holy name. So even when you are chanting, that submissive service attitude towards the holy name should be there. And that will gradually elevate us to the stage of offenseless chanting, and that offenseless chanting will help us to lead, to understand who Krishna is, how Krishna functions, what are his energies, and what are his glories. And when we speak of the multipotencies of Krishna, this is very difficult for people to understand. And therefore, many times people don't accept a person, God as a person. Why? Because when you speak of God as a person, we are not able to relate the person and potencies together. The multipotencies especially. Because for us, we are limited. We cannot do many things. Therefore, when we speak of God as a person, we also put restrictions on God. And when we speak that God has so many potencies, he is full of variety, full of this, full of that, then the terminology, then the conception comes is, he cannot be a person. That is where the Mayavad philosophy comes. And therefore, Prabhupada explains, gives one of the examples, he says, just like a person can create many things by the transformation of his energy. He gives an example of a businessman. A person who has a lot of money. Money for that businessman is his energy. So with that money, with that energy, he can do so many transformations. He can create, with that potency, he can create so many companies, so many industries. But at the same time, he is not one with those industries, with that potency. He still retains his own identity. Prabhupada gives that example. So how to come to that stage? How to come to the stage to understand that Krishna is a person, or to begin with, how to chant offenselessly? Kaviraj Goswami explains in the discussion between Gopinath Acharya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes into ecstasy and falls unconscious in the temple of Jagannath, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, seeing that state of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, takes him to his house. And after some time, when Gopinath Acharya, who is his brother-in-law, when he comes, and he knows who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, and he tries to convince Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya regarding the identity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, being the topmost of all Mayavadis and the logician who tries to understand everything through logic, cannot accept it. He does not accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Supreme Lord. So Gopinath Acharya tries to convince him, but then he makes one very important statement, that why one can not understand, or why you are not able to understand that the same person who is lying down in your house is the Supreme Lord. So Gopinath Acharya says, Acharya kahe vastu vishay, haya vastu gyan, vastu tattva gyana hoy, kripate pramana. Gopinath Acharya replied, knowledge of the samam boman, the absolute truth, is the evidence of the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Knowledge of the absolute truth, that is a samam bonam. That means everything. When you say samam bonam, means it includes everything. That is only possible when you receive the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So everything boils down to one thing. It is simply the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So unless and until you receive the mercy of the Supreme Lord, you cannot begin to chant. And when you don't begin to chant, you cannot upgrade yourself to offenseless chanting. And when you don't from that stage of offenseless chanting, when you continue it without the mercy of Krishna, you cannot graduate or upgrade yourself to understand Krishna and to understand the diverse energies, potencies of the Supreme Lord. What Gajendra is speaking in this verse. You are creating when you want, you are annihilating also. It's very difficult to understand. But that understanding is possible only when Krishna bestows his mercy. So, the basic thing is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. But the Supreme Lord cannot, in one sense, give mercy to someone unless and until he takes shelter of the internal potency of the Lord. Because here Prabhupada speaks of the multipotencies of the Lord. And we know what are the potencies of Krishna. The Antaranga Shakti, the Bahiranga Shakti, the Tatastha Shakti. So Krishna functions for the devotees sometimes through external energy, but for the non-devotees through the Bahiranga Shakti, the external energy. He showers his mercy through that way. But for devotees, when he wants to shower his mercy, he has to use his Antaranga Shakti. And who's the personification of that Antaranga Shakti? He is the Ladini Shakti, the Chit Shakti, Srimati Radharani. So unless and until Srimati Radharani bestows her mercy on someone, or unless until Srimati Radharani decides that this person should receive mercy, Krishna does not give mercy. Krishna becomes Mahavadanyaya Avatar. How? Not by his own self. Krishna becomes Mahavadanyaya Avatar, the most magnanimous, because of Srimati Radharani. Because in himself, he is not ready to give mercy openly to everyone. If he wants to give mercy openly to everyone, then he has to accept the mood of Srimati Radharani. And then only that mercy, which he is very much keeping in his heart, which he does not give openly to everyone, that is possible only by the mercy of Srimati Radharani. So yesterday we celebrated Radharashtami. We heard so many, all the exalted devotees speaking, even Maharaj speaking in the evening. So many glories. But we see so many pastimes are there. How Srimati Radharani, for devotees, because she is the mother. Unless and until, father is not always very merciful. Father is conditional. Father's love is all, many times conditional. As we see with us also. Father, when you do something good, then he's ready to give you something. If you pass in the exam, then he'll give you some gifts. Not always. But when you do something what he likes, then he's very happy. But mother, unconditional. Whether you like it or you don't like it. Whether you love her, you don't love her, but still she continues to love. Like when we were small, I don't know how bona fide that story is. That one boy, he fell in love with one girl. And that girl said, that boy proposed her, do you love me? So girl said, yes, I love you very much. And the girl said, that how can you express your love to me? Well, I'm ready to do everything, whatever you want. He said, go get the heart of your mother. Then I will think that you really love me. So that son goes, kills his mother and gets her heart to win the heart of this girl. And when he's running towards that girl with that heart, he somehow scrambles and falls down. And from that heart comes the voice, the heart of the mother, that my dear son, did you hurt yourself? That is the heart of a mother. So compassionate, so merciful, unconditional. And that is how Radharani is. No matter what you are, if we can just present ourselves before Radharani, then however busy Krishna may be playing his flute, but if she recommends, then we have some hope. And we see so many pastimes are there, Avarvita Acharyas and all that. So I'll just like to mention some pastimes. When Raghunath Das Goswami, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the Govardhan Shila, which he was always keeping tied around his neck, which he was bathing with his tears, and the Gunjimala, Raghunath Das Goswami understood But by giving this Govardhan Shila, Mahaprabhu has directed me to have a residence near Govardhan. And by giving this Gunjamala, which is very dear to Srimati Radharani, Mahaprabhu has given me a place to stay at Sri Radha Kund. So what is Sri Radha Kund? That is personification of Radharani herself, manifestation, liquid prema of Srimati Radharani. And every day, Raghunath Das Goswami, when he was sitting on the banks of Radha Kund to chant his bhajan, it was like sitting, like a small child, sitting in the lap of his mother, completely safe, completely protected. And when he was sitting in the lap of Srimati Radharani in the form of Srimati Radha Kund, Sri Radha Kund, and doing his bhajan, one day Sanatan Goswami, when he, two times it happens, Sanatan Goswami comes to visit. First time, he sees Krishna, because that time it is not now what we see Radha Kund as, so many cities, so many residential areas. Radha Kund at that time was in a jungle, so many wild animals were there. So a tiger came, wild animals used to come and drink water there. So once Sanatan Goswami saw Krishna standing with a stick to protect Raghunath Das Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami was quite annoyed. He says, the purpose of our bhajan is to serve that divine couple, and you are here doing bhajan, at the same time taking service from Krishna. You should have a bhajan kutir. You should not sit here. You should be in a secluded place, isolated place. But then Raghunath Das Goswami oversees that instruction. But then next time, right, father was there just with a stick. That is one expression of love. But next time when again Sanatan Goswami comes, Raghunath Das Goswami is busy, completely lost in the eternal pastime, Nitya Leela, busy chanting the holy names. And that time it was scorching. The sun was blazing like anything. Heat, like all those who have been to Vrindavan during June and July, and August also, it's deadly. And Raghunath Das Goswami was sitting there, completely engrossed in chanting his holy name. And what does Sanatan Goswami see? Like a loving mother who always keeps her child in the shade of her loving embrace, Sanatan Goswami sees Radharani with her veil, with her pallu on the head of Raghunath Das Goswami to protect him. And not just she's protecting, she is herself sweating. She is sweating to serve or to take care of her beloved son, Raghunath Das Goswami. So this is the love, the mercy of Srimati Radharani. That veil protecting Raghunath Das Goswami from the scorching sunlight. So what stops us from understanding Krishna and relishing Krishna's name or relishing Krishna consciousness is the offensive mentality, which is like the scorching heat of that sun, always tempting us, always burning us, forcing us. But if somehow there, if Radharani keeps us under her shelter, then there is some hope for us to be protected from this offensive mentality and come to the level of offenseless chanting of the holy name. That is Radharani's mercy. And Prabhupada, it just this verse which Krishna Kaviraj Goswami quotes, just previous to that, there is one other beautiful verse. But how can you understand Lord Chaitanya's Radharani's mercy? Not by logic, not by your intelligence. Kaviraj Goswami makes a simple formula. He says, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Daya Karaho Vichar. Just think about the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, which is not different from mercy of Srimati Radharani. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Daya Karaho Vichar Vichara Karite Chitta Babe Chamatkar. If you are indeed interested in logic and argument, kindly apply it to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you do so, you will find it to be strikingly wonderful. So in the purport to that, Prabhupada makes a very beautiful point. He says, by putting forward, he's referring to all the logicians, mundane logicians and atheists, by putting forward mundane logic, one frequently comes to the wrong conclusion regarding the absolute truth. And as a result, of such a conclusion, one may fall down to accept a body like that of a jackal. So what is the faith of all these people who try to understand Supreme Lord through logic? They become a jackal. But Radharani's mercy is so great that even such logicians, such atheists who have would come to the wrong conclusions, when they become jackals, Krishna makes them jackal. But Radharani takes the responsibility of delivering even a jackal. That is, now jackal in animals, it is the most lowest of all the animals, useless. Maharaj once said, nobody likes to keep a jackal in the house. Everybody will keep a dog, but nobody keeps a jackal. Even fox is okay, but a jackal is still more lowly. And we know that beautiful pastime at Shivakor, just before, on the outskirts of Radhakund, when you are entering into that lane, the first spot is Shivakor, where that lowly jackal, that she jackal, that also. How Srimati Radharani bestowed her mercy on that jackal. So once Radharani and all the sakhis were having, because Radharani always, majority of the time she's at Radhakund, they're having their intimate pastimes. And Radharani hears the cry of a jackal. And Radharani is very much astonished that this is my area where everybody is blissful, everybody is dancing, everybody is singing. Who's this person who's so crying so pitiably? So she sends Lalita Sakhi. Lalita Sakhi, please go out and check out. Who's this person who's crying? So he's in such a miserable state. So Lalita Sakhi goes out in searching to track this cry. And there she finds a jackal half burnt. Because there are some local boys who are chasing this jackal, and then that jackal entered inside a hole. The boys, they collect all the straw, the grass, and put it on fire. And the jackal was burnt. And in that burning condition, he was literally crying, just like this Gajendra was crying. Even that jackal also was not doing anything. Like Gajendra crying for protection, that jackal was also crying for protection, for saving. At the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And what does Radharani do? Places her lotus feet on that jackal, and immediately that jackal is transformed into one of her eternal associates. So that is the hope. All of us are tormented by miseries, which are like forest fire, samsara davanal. But Radharani herself, through her eternal associates, through her representatives, in the form of our acharyas, in the form of Srila Prabhupada, in the form of existing acharyas, they come to claim us and place us at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, so that Radharani can pick us and offer it as an offering to Krishna. This is the mercy of Srimati Radharani. This is her love for her devotees to such an extent that she can even cook for the devotees. When Rupa Goswami was staying at Tir Kadam, writing all the books, and one day Sanatana Goswami was about to come to visit, because Sanatana Goswami was staying at Pavan Sarovar in his bhajan kutir, he had there in Nandgam, and Rupa Goswami was at Tir Kadam. So Rupa Goswami felt that when my brother is coming, I should offer him some feast. Hare Krishna. So, what does Rupa Goswami have to offer? So he was just praying that what can I offer? But then he was thinking how nice it would be if I could offer some sweet rice to my brother, Sanatana Goswami, because he considered him as his guru and the brother also. So when your guru comes, when senior comes, you always want to serve. But Rupa Goswami was a renunciant, he had nothing. They themselves were surviving just by begging, madhukari, getting some roti and some chickpeas. But then he thought of giving some feast. And then one beautiful, small Braj Gopi, she comes with all the ingredients for sweet rice, milk, rice, sugar, camphor, and says, Baba, please take this and cook some thing for you. But then Rupa Goswami says, see, I'm so busy actually, and I don't know how to cook. And there are no facilities also. You do one thing, my dear. You go and cook it and get it. So Radharani goes. That small little girl goes, cooks and gets the sweet rice and offers it to Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami offers it. And then when Sanatana Goswami comes, you offer that sweet rice to Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, initially when he sees that sweet rice, he's not happy. He says, are we are supposed to be, you know, surviving by Madhukari. But nowadays, he tells Rupa Goswami that nowadays by staying at Ter Kadam, it seems you are relishing a lot of sweet rice and having a nice feast. But then he says, no, one small little girl came and she offered. And basically it was my desire, some or the other. And they both taste it. When Rupa Goswami offers it to Sanatana Goswami, as soon as Sanatana Goswami puts that sweet rice in his mouth, he goes into ecstasy. Why? Because that is not an ordinary sweet rice. That is like coming in touch with Krishna directly. When exalted devotees, they come in touch with Krishna or Krishna's holy name, they go into ecstasy. So that sweet rice was also non-different from Krishna himself, cooked by Srimati Radharani. So when he tasted that, he went into ecstasy. And in that ecstasy, he inquired from Rupa Goswami, from where have you got this? He said, one small little girl, she came and she offered. Well, how does she look? Describe. And then Rupa Goswami goes on to describe that girl. And he gets wild. He says, what have you done? Then what happened? Well, she is none other than our worshipable Srimati Radharani. We are chanting. We are serving the holy name. We are chanting to serve the holy name, and our whole purpose of our bhajan is to serve that divine couple, Radha and Krishna. And instead of serving them, you are taking service from them. But the sweet rice was so nectarian that even though he was chastising Rupa Goswami, he could not continue, or so he could not stop eating that sweet rice. That is the sweet rice. Yesterday, therefore, we had sweet rice in the feast. So this is Srimati Radharani's mercy. So to begin offenseless chanting, we have to begin chanting. And what is the first syllable of our chanting? Hare. So we begin with Hare. Our spiritual life begins with Radharani. Even when we are new, the first time when somebody tells, please chant. And what is the first syllable we chant? Hare. Even before Krishna. Even before Krishna, we chant Hare. So Radharani is our beginning. Radharani is our maintenance. She is our nourisher. And she is our ultimate destination. So beginning, maintenance, and destination is Srimati Radharani. Only her mercy can bring us in the association of devotees. Only her mercy can make us chant. Only her mercy can make us or elevate us to offenseless chanting. And only her mercy can make us understand Krishna. Only her mercy can maintain us. And only by her mercy we can go back home, back to Godhead. So this is the divine mercy of Srimati Radharani, which is coming through all our acharyas, the existing acharyas also, our God brothers, who some or the other have interfered in our life and have brought us, as representative of Srimati Radharani, have brought us and engaged us in their loving service. So even though Maharaj yesterday very beautifully said that on this day of Radhashtami, what should be our prayer? A prayer of gratitude to Srila Prabhupada and prayer of gratitude to all our acharyas and to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in the same line, unless until we are grateful, we cannot continue to survive in our Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaur Premanand.